The fact that the Archbishop of Canterbury not infrequently apologises for terrible things that have happened somewhere within the fabric of the Church of England is, it has to be said, a good thing, on the simple ground that it clearly helps and brings great comfort to victims of various kinds of abuse. So it's good that he does it. But when you look at the content of what he's doing, it's very, very problematical. In what sense does the Archbishop take responsibility on behalf of the Church of England for something that happened in the camps in Dorset, which were only very distantly under any sort of control within the fabric of the Church of England, an independent charity that was doing these things? That's my first big point. The Church of England does not exist, not in the sense in which even the serious places like Newsnight and The Guardian would like to suggest that it is, that it does. Point number two, will the Church of England split? Well, let you into a double secret. The first is that the Church of England cannot split. It just can't happen. It's not an organisation that can split. Supposing we all got thoroughly fed up with something that the Church of England had done and decided that we wanted to join some continuing church. We couldn't. I mean, you and me could go and rent ourselves premises to worship in and call ourselves whatever we liked. But this building belongs to the people of St. John's Wood. If you look it up in the land registry, you'll find that the registered owner is the vicar of St. John's Wood. It's not me personally, of course. It's vested in me on behalf of the people of St. John's Wood, not just the churchgoers, but all the people of St. John's Wood. And we can't split because there is no mechanism for dividing the assets. The assets, as it were, they belong to us. They all belong to the whole people of England in the church by law established. So the Church of England can't split. At the same time, the Church of England has, by most theological definitions of a split, already split in a precise and very serious sense. Since the ordination of women to the episcopate, we've been in a situation where some bishops of the Church of England will not receive communion from other bishops of the Church of England. When they go for House of Bishops meetings and they celebrate the Eucharist together, the new Bishop of Sheffield will not receive communion from the Bishop of Gloucester because she's a woman and he does not accept the possibility that women can be priests or bishops within the Church of God, within the Church of England. Now, a situation in which bishops are ceasing to receive communion from one another, in the sense of sharing communion at the holy table, is in early Christian centuries the classic definition of a split in the church. So in our extraordinary Church of England way, we are split, and we have instituted that split within the actual structure of our church, a church which cannot split. I am quite unable to give any coherent theological account of this. It's just one of those amazing English things that sort of works. There's no logic in it, but it sort of works. The new Bishop of Sheffield actually used to be our neighbour at St. Michael's Camden Town. And he's been here on various occasions when he was an incumbent there. I'd be delighted if he wanted to come and preach here. And I'd be delighted to welcome the Bishop of Gloucester, who could quite possibly be the next Bishop of London, if you've been following the odds at the bookies. You'll have discovered that her running, you know, she's quite in favour with them at the moment. So we're in communion with both of them, but they're not in communion with each other. You have the Church of England that does not exist, that cannot split, and yet is split. Bear all that in mind when you read the newspapers or when you listen to the radio or watch something on the television. Finally, and this is drawing back from the curious muddled human existence of the Church of England to something more fundamental and ultimately more important. What is the relation between the Church of England, in as much as there's such a thing that can meaningfully be spoken of, and the Church of God, the sacramental body, the bride of Christ, the church as heavenly and divine reality? Now, that, of course, is a really, really big question, and one over the ages that's been very controversial in relation to any church in human history. So, for example, until round about the 1950s, it was the official position of the Roman Catholic Church, and this is a view still held by many conservative Roman Catholics, that the Roman Catholic Church and the Church of God are coterminous realities. The Church of God, the sacramental heavenly church subsists, consists on earth in the Roman Catholic Church. And if you're in the Catholic Church, you are in the Church of God, and if you're not in it, you're not in it. That, as I say, was the official position up until the Second Vatican Council. Things have moved considerably since, although actually this is still a very controversial question within Roman Catholic theology. The Church of England, and we would never claim that the boundaries of the Church of England were coterminous with the boundaries of the Church as a mystical and divine reality. But what most Anglicans would say, actually what most Catholics would say, is that the bits of the Church on earth are not parts of a wider Church, which together might make up the heavenly Church, but rather when a church gathers together, I mean a congregation gathers together, when we gather together here to celebrate this Eucharist, then in our celebration, we are present as the whole Church of God. We may only be one particular organization, little bit of the rich fabric of the Church of England, still more, one tiny part of the rich fabric of the universal church worshipping around the world, but the Church of God is present in its fullness when we meet, however few we are, however many we are. We are the body of Christ, nourished by the body that is given to us from the holy table, from the altar. And in that act of celebrating and sharing Eucharistic communion together, we are a complete expression of the body of Christ. And this is why the peace is such an important and almost solemn part of the Eucharistic celebration. We do the peace really badly in this parish, as in almost any Anglican parish that I can think of, in fact, almost any parish that I can think of, because we're much too informal about it. It becomes for us a social greeting, a way of saying how pleased we are to see one another on a Sunday morning. It's actually about the recognition, each of us recognizing in each of the others a fellow member of the mystical body. Someone made in the image of Christ, redeemed in Christ like us, and gathering together to be together the fullness of the Church of God in this place. So when we share the peace, we should certainly share it with joy, but we should also share it with solemnity, with a proper sense of awe for what it is that we are saying when we greet one another as reconciled members of the one body of Christ, gathered in a complete expression of the Church, in a particular place, on a particular occasion, to be the Church of God, to whom Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all might and majesty, now and always. Amen.